Welcome to the Hot Lobby Podcast. Kevin A.C., Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I am in Pittsburgh, Jay, with the Red Hot Padres. Yes, I just thought of that.
I see what you did there, Kevin.
I may have been actually tempted to use it had I thought of it earlier. So thankfully I didn't, because that was really dumb. But nonetheless, it does apply because the Padres have 7 wins in their last 9 games. And 6 of those victories are against the Reds. Nothing wrong with that, but nothing terribly impressive with that.
No, I would agree with that. These games all, and I did not see yesterday's game, other than maybe the first inning, was following along with it. And it just seemed like it was sort of like the other games in a sense, where the Padres kind of scored a bunch of runs and then the bullpen kept giving up a run here and a run there. And Padres, well, the first night they didn't add on, but the second night and yesterday they added on and, yep, and ended up being, you know, three victories. I was going to call them comfortable, but I'm not sure that they were really comfortable, because it seemed like, no, except for yesterday, the Reds, and I guess even yesterday in the eighth inning, the Reds made it uncomfortable. So
none of them were terribly comfortable for scoring 24 runs in 3 games.
Right, right. But at the same time, I mean, we spent a lot of time talking last year about how the Padres were unable to win games like that against teams like that. So you don't want to be too critical, because they played that team 6 times and they won 6 games. And I think obviously anybody would take that at any time. I didn't expect it. If you're the Padres, you always hope for it. But, you know, beating a team 6 times in a row is not easy. Even, I mean, they are a major league team for the most part.
Hey, so they have a couple of those pitches came in for the Reds, and there's a kid Deal, I believe, for he's actually a Cincinnati kid. Yeah. And I sort of had like flashbacks. I was like, this kid is good. Like, he was, and I'm like, that's right. This is the major leagues. Like, the Reds are bad, right? They sold off some parts, but they're also injured. And they're playing terribly. Joey Votto, one of my favorite players, one of the best players of this time, he's lost. They're bad. But it is a major league team. They have good players. And I just wanted to share that, because like, that's something we say all the time and players say all the time. Oh, there's major leaguers over there. Okay, whatever. Yeah, it's the Reds.
But they are.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, well, Kyle Farmer had, what, 4 doubles in the second game of the series. I mean,
Tommy Pham again. Like, if that's why you guys were booing him, because you're pissed off that he was good in Tampa and now he's good again and he wasn't good here for $11 million, then okay, I understand now.
Yeah. No, and so, as we said, whatever the Padres did, and their, you know, their defense wasn't good in Cincinnati and the bullpen wasn't terribly good, the starters were pretty good. But, and the offense obviously scored a lot of runs. The bottom line is they won all 3 games. They won all 3 games against them the next week. And we talked about taking advantage of the situation. They've done that. I joked on Twitter this morning that, you know, we would talk about the Padres making a petition to see if they could play the Reds again. I'm not expecting that to be approved. So they basically have to settle for sort of one of the next best things, which is playing the Pirates. And they aren't terribly good either. Brian Reynolds is off to a terrible start. Guy that, you know, the Padres were potentially involved in talks with. They don't have a lot on their team. I mean, David Bednar, who would be hard, I think he would probably be hard pressed to make the Padres bullpen at this point. Maybe he could be like the 5th or 6th inning type guy. He's the closer for the Pirates. So again, you're not playing a great team, and here's a chance to take advantage and you know, win at least 2 out of 3 and go on to play Cleveland. So I probably should look at who's even pitching for.
Well, here's something I'll tell you. It's Zach Thompson tonight, I believe. But here's something I'll tell you.
Yes.
They're 8-11, which is miles better. Like, obviously quantifiable, but in some ways, like, unquantifiably better than the Reds, because they're just, wow, they might be worse than 3-16. But their starting pitchers, I don't believe, have a win, as in haven't gone long enough, team hasn't been ahead, because they're 8-11, and you would think, well, maybe a starting pitcher went, you know, 5 2/3, 1 point, and got the win. Nope, hasn't happened yet. So that's interesting.
They don't have a quality start.
Don't have a quality start. There you go.
Not one quality start. They're in the bottom five in ERA, WHIP, and opponent average. So they have not been good. They just got swept by Milwaukee. They've lost six games to Milwaukee. So there's a team that the Padres could be competing with for a wild card this year.
So here's one thing I want to point out, and I don't know that I ever did. Maybe I did here, because this is a place that we kind of, you know, talk about a lot of different stuff, sometimes go off on tangents, but I never wrote about it really after the start of the season, because there were so many other things wrong, and it's not why the Padres were bad last year. But it seemed that they faced every team, and I know that there's some truth to this. It's not 100%, but it seemed last year like they faced every team when that team was going well. They faced every team's ace. Like, there was a point in June where they faced Scherzer twice, DeGrom twice. By the time the Giants and Dodgers got to the Mets, Scherzer was a Dodger. The Giants didn't play him. They played the Cubs before they traded everybody, and they were hot. Actually, we're in first place in the Central. And, hey, the Reds are not going to be this bad. They caught the Reds now. Right. The Pirate, or Brian Reynolds, is going to even out probably. Mm-hmm. The Pirates starters are going to win a game. Maybe, as happens in baseball, the Padres are getting back a little bit of something where they're going to face some people when they're down.
Right. Well, they have Zach Thompson, and I'm quoting off of Jeff Sanders' preview here. They have Zach Thompson pitching tonight, has yet to complete five innings in his three starts. Got shelled in a couple starts last year against the Padres. JT Brubaker is a right-hander pitching tomorrow, who has completed five innings once this year. He's walked 11 and 15 in the third innings. And then Mitch Keller is pitching on Sunday. The Padres, he had a 7 ERA and a 1.8 WHIP against the Padres last year. I remember them beating him up pretty good. But they do have a couple of relievers beyond Bednar, who's 2-for-2 in saves. But Dylan Peters is a lefty who has not allowed a run in 12 and a third innings. And Will Crow is a right-hander who's given up only one run in 14 in the third inning. So, again, when you talk about there are major leaguers on the roster, those are two guys who have pitched, you know, basically the equivalent of three games and given up one run. So it's not like the Padres can just walk out there tonight and enjoy the scenery, which is fantastic there, as you know, and then just waltz away with three wins. So they probably do have to play a little bit better, especially defensively, and it probably would be good if they had someone on the team other than Machado and Hosmer hitting better than .210 at the moment.
So the first thing I'll say is I don't think anyone's playing on Sunday. both teams have an off day on Monday. So I guess it's 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. You're going to spend your off day Sunday in Pittsburgh, or the scheduled off day Monday in Cleveland, because something like 80% chance of rain on Sunday. So,
okay.
All right, there we go. Yu Darvish tonight, Sean Manaea tomorrow, Joe Musgrove Sunday or Monday. Yu is going to dodge a bullet, it appears, because Yu really doesn't like the cold. And it is beautiful here right now. Now, I suppose if he goes eight innings and it drops down into the low 50s, then maybe Yu will start to tighten up there. But like something like 63 or 64 at first pitch, which is nice because it has been very cold in this part of the country. Those were three cold games in Cincinnati.
Right. And I know it was very cold this morning there back in that part of the country. But yeah, I'm looking here. Hopefully my weather app is better than Mark Grant's. 63 at game time tonight, and even by 9 o'clock, 57 degrees, which I hopefully not too bad for Darvish. Pretty as long nice. As the wind, as long as there was not much wind blowing, so should not be much of an issue. And then, as you said, Manaea pitching tomorrow and Musgrove on Sunday. So the Padres lined up with their top three guys, and then I guess we should talk about what happens next week after Mike Clevinger comes back. Would you expect him to pitch on Tuesday in Cleveland? Is that your best prediction?
I would just piecing together kind of that they're probably going to go with a six-man rotation one time through. That seems to be the preference. And you might as well get Clevinger. I believe that would then be 5 days, and it would have everybody else on, I believe, 6 days rest. And, you know, then whether you go one time through, that gets you partway through the next homestand. Then you have another off day. So that's when you have to make a decision. Is Mackenzie Gore your best chance to win? Factoring in a little bit that he has options and he can go down to AAA, and you know that it's only going to be a couple starts because something's going to happen and you're going to need someone. Or Nick Martinez, does he go to the bullpen? I don't think that right now there's any question Mackenzie Gore is the better pitcher, has been more effective. Is it that much greater that you keep Mackenzie Gore and you put Nick Martinez in the bullpen when Nick Martinez can't get out of an inning without allowing traffic? So honestly, Jay, I don't know. And I'm sure they know, but I'm not entirely sure that they know, because you spend a lot of brain activity on that and then things end up working out. But right now, their solution is almost certainly to go with a six-man rotation into next week.
Right. And as you said, so that covers six games on the homestand, or two games on the road, and then the four-game series against the Marlins. And then you would figure, obviously, Clevinger would pitch that first game the Monday night against the Cubs, and then you have to start making decisions at that point. Whether
it's almost that that's when you wish that you had fewer off days. It's when you wish that you had, you know, hey, we'll take those 17 in a row. We'll just cycle these guys through and then we'll make a decision. One of them will probably get hurt or need a rest and we'll be fine. But that's not going to be the case. It does not appear right now. And then, you know, Blake Snell is plowing through single A pitchers. I wasn't there, obviously, in Fort Wayne, but like, that is not something where we can tell. He goes four innings and 40-something pitches or something.
Yeah.
They need him to go get tested and throw 60 pitches or something and be able to come back knowing that he's going to go five innings in the major leagues. Because from the numbers, that was pretty impressive. And Blake Snell looks pretty healthy. Maybe one more start and he can come back. I think the Padres are counting on two more rehab starts for Blake Snell.
And I would think that he would get moved up. I mean, it was obviously convenient to do Fort Wayne in this particular case, but I would think at some point, like with Clevinger, he would go from pitching in single A to up to triple A to face some better hitters and get a little more test. If nothing else, better hitters in ballparks where it's not as, you know, where it might be a little difficult and that sort of thing. Because you definitely want to get him up beyond 65, 70 pitches before he gets a start back in the big league. So as we've said all along, it's a good problem to have. If they're going to have seven healthy starting pitchers at the same time, you know, I'm sure those are the decisions that they would like to make, because it beats the heck out of having three healthy pitchers and going to sign Jake Arrieta and Vince Velasquez, you know, when you're trying to stay in a pennant race. So I think from that standpoint, the Padres are okay. The bullpen in Cincinnati, as I mentioned, was not great, other than Taylor Rogers had a little trouble yesterday, came in and had to bail out Denelson Lamet the previous night with a one-pitch save. Couple guys struggled. I mean, I don't want to say Steven Wilson struggled. I mean, he gave up a home run. It's going to happen. He's not going to have a scoreless outing every time out. I didn't see Garcia yesterday. What was his what was the story with him?
I'm just wondering if that he has a splitter now that is ridiculous. Like, and no one can hit it or catch it. So and I'm just wondering, like, if it's still like fine tuning with him, because guys aren't really squaring him up, but there are some flares that are happening. And, you know, he's either coming in and getting three outs like right away, or there's some traffic out there. I think Luis Garcia is a really good eighth inning guy. Steven Wilson is a really good seventh or eighth inning guy. And Taylor Rogers, who yesterday, he gave up a hit and then a long fly ball. I don't know if you saw that. I thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. I got a flight. They've been winning this whole time. And now it's, but Trent Grisham caught it at the wall. And this place, look, it's not Coors Field. Sometimes it's worse. It's got these tiny gaps, and it, you know, the ball does travel well there, and it's a tiny toy ballpark, okay? And that would have been unfortunate for the Padres had that been a home run. Taylor Rogers has been highly effective. Tim Hill, you know, last couple outings, I have no idea why he threw to first base yesterday. Didn't get a chance to talk to him. It's also not necessarily wasn't top on my list. I don't know if you saw that, Jay. He threw to an Eric Hosmer that was not at first base. I have no idea what was happening. He was in trouble and he was trying to get out of it. And I think he just like, I got to get this guy. And it was bizarre. It is bizarre. You know how they talk about how hitting is contagious and we're like, well, yeah, it doesn't look like anybody's getting sick. It is like errors have become contagious for this team, and bonehead plays and wild pitches. And it's bizarre how you went from zero errors in 16 games, an MLB record, to what, like, they're like not even, they might not even be in the top 10 of errorless teams now. Like they have like 11 in 4 games. So they got to clean that up. And
I saw in your newsletter today about CJ Abrams.
That was impressive.
And how he made a couple errors, but the encouraging thing from the Padres standpoint was the way that he bounced back from those errors and didn't seem to lose confidence in himself. And I could see where, and I think you wrote this, you know, and or maybe Bob Melvin said it. I mean, here's a guy who's struggling at the plate. You would think that, you know, he's sort of defining right now sort of his self-worth to the team in a way that, okay, well, at least I'm playing great defense. And then he makes an error or two, and he's 21 years old, and you could see maybe his confidence would wane a bit, but it sounds like it did not. And he came right back and made a couple nice plays. And Ha-Seong Kim, who's been, you know, playing as well, came up with some big hits yesterday. So both of those are important to the Padres. I mean, Ha-Seong Kim's slugging 500 right now. So I wouldn't expect that to last, but it's, you know, it's certainly something that is sort of a welcome sight.
There's not an interview that doesn't go by with Ha-Seong Kim in which he does not mention, I'm playing more, so that helps. Now, I'm not saying that he's dropping that in on purpose, but the fact that he's talking about it a lot and he has expressed that Bob Melvin has told him that he'll play more to give him that sort of confidence that, hey, not only, you know, when you're in there, but when you're not in there, you're going to play. This isn't going to be a case where you're going 6 games with one at bat. All right. And you know, Ha-Seong Kim was a fine player in Korea and he played every day. So I think that, you know, what was good about yesterday is this guy is so dependable on defense. So you can give Manny Machado a break and you have nothing to worry about. At third base. Is he as good? No. Right. You have nothing to worry about there. And whereas, you know, back in the day, God bless him, loved Greg Garcia. Just think he was just a winning piece on a team that was not ready to win. But you put him at third base for Manny and, you know, it might not be a great day, right?
Right.
And you put Ha-Seong Kim there and then he gets 3 hits. Heck, if Ha-Seong Kim got 1 hit yesterday and he filled in for Manny and one of those hits was a double off the wall like his was, then that's a good outing for Ha-Seong Kim. That's who you're paying $7 million a year. So at least promising there. You know, a couple days ago, I never got around to it. He was like second in the major leagues in pop-up rate. So we'll see what happens with Ha-Seong.
Yeah. And you know, as we mentioned, the offense perked up in Cincinnati. What was it, 24 runs?
24 runs, 9, 8, and 7.
Right. So, you know, that's something that maybe you would not quite have expected that many runs, even in that ballpark. And, you know, they all talked about, okay, all we have to do is get a game or two and it'll get us going. So we'll see if it carries over into Pittsburgh, which is, I seem to recall Pittsburgh's pretty fair ballpark, wouldn't
Very
you say?
Fair. Very yeah. fair.
So we'll see how that goes. And I think Cleveland is pretty fair as well. It's got the big wall in left field. But I wouldn't call either one of those parks pitchers.
I have not been to Cleveland since the players were helping themselves out with things to hit balls very far. So I don't know how it will play now in the new dead ball era and relatively clean era. I do not know that. But Pittsburgh is fair, even to the point where, you know, hitters might not be like they are with Petco, right? That's a fair ballpark now. PNC is like that. So, and it's a great place to watch a game. And Jay, you talked about it earlier. You talked about those starting pitchers, right? Like, that doesn't mean the Padres are going to go out and sweep them. It means the Padres should take two or three. It means these are, that the Padres are no longer the team that pitchers like that get well against, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that guy, those guys are due, right? Okay, fine. But they shouldn't be due against the Padres. So that's what we should be thinking about this series.
And the hitters will like the fact that I was just checking the Guardians play this weekend in Oakland, and Shane Bieber is pitching on Saturday, which means that he will not pitch against the Padres. So whoever else is in the Cleveland rotation is nowhere near as good as Shane Bieber. So that's a good miss for the Padres next week in Cleveland. Offensively, Eric Hosmer, he's not going to hit 415 all year. We know that. And we've seen, 2 years ago, we saw him have a very good 60-game season. We'll probably keep saying this over and over. You can't really read anything into this because it's way too soon, but it's certainly encouraging to see what he's done so far. He hit a couple home runs in Cincinnati, but it's not like they were Anthony Rizzo hitting pop-ups at Yankee Stadium home runs. They were long, long home runs that he hit very hard. So he's been everything that anybody could have expected and a lot more. The same applies basically to Machado, who, as good as he's been, you still don't expect, Manny to be hitting almost 400. And that again, that's not going to last. And other guys are going to have to step up at some point. But it's certainly fun to watch when you've got, guys that are hitting like that. And they just need some help. They need some other people to step up. And it happened some in Cincinnati. And I guess we'll see who the candidates are to step forward. I mean, they're down, I guess you'd say they're down two starters because Luke Voit was considered a starter. And now they're down Will Myers. And, not that Myers was doing much, but you always sort of expected him to snap out of it. And we'll see what happens going forward. So
yeah, that's the funny thing about Will, huh? Because you always do expect he's going to snap out of it, and that'll last for a while, and that's not available now. I think Luke Voit, we'll see. Comes back maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe the beginning of the homestand. But yeah, what happened this weekend is the 7, 8, 9 hitters sometimes got some hits, and those three guys were so good. And Cronenworth in the two had a couple good games, or at least one where he was productive. The leadoff spot is a absolute hole right now. Both guys. So they're very fortunate as Bob Melvin said, that's why they make the big bucks. I paraphrased. That wasn't exactly what he said, but he said that's why they make the big money, right? And also, they would not be where they are for whatever it is, for however long it lasts, whatever, they would not be 13-7 without Eric Hosmer. Now, it goes also without Manny Machado, but let's remember that. They would not be 13-7 without Eric Hosmer.
Or probably without playing the Reds, but that's another, but still, you play who you play, and you take advantage of guys who are hitting at the time, and you're not, Osmer's not going to toss any hits back, and he's, like I said, he's been hitting the ball hard, and the Padres are, against the schedule that they've played, have a record that sort of where they should be.
If the Padres lose three quarters of their games to the Giants and to the Dodgers, yet continue to play at a 900 clip against losing teams, the Padres will win 120 games. And that was just loose math, but it'll be close to that, okay?
Yeah. No, they just have to continue doing what they have done. And as you said, we'll see what happens on Sunday if there's rain. Right now it says 80%. I don't know what time of day that is. I think the last time I looked, it was basically like all day on Sunday. So they might end up having to play an afternoon game on Monday to
I will say this. I've been here and other places back east. They build their fields different because of the torrential little thunderstorms that can come through. And as long as it stops raining, they can play. Like, it is amazing. If it rained one quarter as much in San Diego, the field wouldn't be ready till the next day. It can rain like 12 inches in 15 minutes here, and a half hour later, that field is ready to play. So that gives me some hope. As funny as it sounds, I think everyone's sort of looking forward to another, an off day on the team. Even though it's in Cleveland, it is an off day. So to mess it all up, it is what it is. You deal with it. But they certainly would like to get that game in Sunday. So
and there is an 80% chance of rain in Cleveland on Tuesday. So
Dodgers in Cincinnati, which is where they've quite often had a lot of rain. But of course, it is what it is.
And we know things change very rapidly back there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I wish you a good weekend in a city I know you enjoy and a ballpark I know you enjoy. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday from Cleveland.
Talk to you later, everybody.